What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you need something quick and convenient like my family does, my ultimate high-protein dinner hack is grabbing pre-marinated steak tips and making them extra crispy and charred in the air fryer while the inside stays juicy and medium rare. I can't say enough about the convenience of Omaha Steaks. Thanks to them, I always have the highest quality proteins on hand. Enjoy exceptional flavor in the convenience of Omaha Steaks during their spring savings event. Omaha Steaks is your weeknight win. And right now, you can get the world's best everyday protein during their spring savings event. Go to omahasteaks.com for an extra $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to shop their spring savings event and use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Mic check, 1, 2, mic check, 3, 4. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your Dan Johnson guest. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today we have an episode all about broadheads. Now, if you're listening to this podcast to learn something, just listen to it with a grain of salt, knowing that you're probably not going to learn anything about broadheads. Today we talk with a buddy of mine his name's Mike, and Mike shoots a lot of deer every year. He's part of an organization that helps reduce the number of deer in specific areas, basically population control. And so he shoots a lot of deer every year, anywhere between 10 and 20 deer a year with a bow. And long story short, the dude knows a thing or two about shot placement, how broadheads perform, mechanicals versus fixed blades, penetration, energy loss, all the good stuff that we talk about. And this isn't a scientific breakthrough by any chance, but I will tell you this, that we talk about broadheads. We share our experiences of what has worked for us in the past, tuning your arrows, mechanicals versus fixed blades. I guess penetration, I've already mentioned that. Just broadheads, man. That's what total arrow weight. energy loss. Already said that. And so it's an interesting conversation because it's not scientific. We're both not professionals. It's basically just two bow hunters talking about performance of specific broadheads. Okay. And so that's what today's episode is about. Before we get into today's episode, though, I do have to send a huge shout out to all of the partners of the podcast today. And that is Code Blue Scents. If you are looking for real or synthetic deer urines, if you are looking for a mock scrape kit, if you're looking for scent elimination products like laundry detergent, deodorants, sprays, go check out CodeBlueScents.com. Use the discount code NFC20 and you will receive 20% off of your purchase. Go do that now because in a couple weeks it could be too late before you get your orders in. Next on the list is the Feed Hub. Now, the Feed Hub is a device that connects to your SpinCast feeder. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to remotely monitor your feed levels and schedule feeding times. If you live in Texas or Oklahoma or Ohio or any other state where you can legally bait deer, Kentucky is one of them. Texas, I think I just said that. But any state where you can bait and you live away from your farms, then the SpinCast feeder monitor system, the Feed Hub, is a really good option because it allows you to be efficient with when you go and visit your farms, when you fill up your feeders, and all of this can be done remotely through the Moultrie Mobile app. So go to MoultrieMobile.com and read up on the Feed Hub. Next on the list, we have Reveal Trail Cameras. Huge shout out to them. I'm getting pictures every day. And actually, a cell camera that is kind of by a fence opening, a gate opening, has been producing, I think, 3 does and 1 buck on a very consistent basis. And so Friday and Saturday of this week, I will be taking my daughter youth season hunting and trying to capitalize on the data that these cell cameras have given me. So excellent setup times. I mean, it takes nothing. I mean, 2 or 3 minutes to download the app and then scan the QR code and get the camera up and fully functional. So if you want more information about the new 3.0 Reveal trail cameras, please go visit tacticam.com/cameras. And that's it. Good vibes in, good vibes out. Let's get into today's episode, all about broadheads. All right, everybody, welcome to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by high volume killer Michael Ward. Michael, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Dan. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
Awesome.
All right, so you're on the podcast today because you shoot a lot of deer with a bow every single year. A lot of deer.
Yep.
And so I want to talk to you about broadhead performance, because through the conversation that we had earlier, you have shot a lot of deer with a variety of different broadheads. Okay.
Yep.
And so I just kind of want to pick that out. I want to set the stage here first. Okay. The stage is you hunt in, you and your organization are in charge of basically lowering the population in a high population area. And you do that by shooting a lot of deer. Okay.
Yep.
And it's near or on small parcels. So to avoid any type of, hey, get this dead deer off my property, you need a deer to die really quickly with massive amounts of damage. Some of that is the shooter and some of that is the broadhead. Is responsibility too. Okay. So where should we start? Where do you think we should start this conversation? I want to talk about broadhead performance.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as, I do like the quicker, death, of an animal. I mean, I think that's something that any hunter is going to want. You know, I love when they go down in sight, and you know, I've always leaned towards mechanicals for that reason. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of mechanical broadheads. You know, I've shot fixed blades. I still do shoot fixed blades. but I just find that the mechanical broadheads for me is the best way to go because, you know, I'm whitetail hunting and it produces the largest wound channel that it can. And like you said, you know, with broadhead performance, you have the shooter and then sometimes you have the broadhead and there's times where, you know, a marginal shot will happen. You know, I don't care who you are. You could be the best shooter in the world, but, you know, sooner or later, something's going to happen with a shot. So, you know, if I can get something where, you know, if it was a difference between a quarter inch and using something that opened up a quarter inch more and that quarter inch clipped, you know, a different artery or something in there, then great. So that's what I aim for is, you know, kind of the largest cutting diameter I can get.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm still using mostly primarily now.
Okay. So let's talk about specifics here. What is your draw length? What is your draw weight? What is your arrow weight? And that's going to help us get an idea. And then also talk to us a little bit about your average shot distance.
Okay. Yeah. So my draw length is 30 inches. My weight is, well, it's probably 68 pounds. You know, it's a 70 pound bow, but I'm thinking I'm coming around 68 and my arrow weight is coming in around 475. So, my average distance shot, I don't like to shoot over 20 yards. If I know I'm on a field edge, you know, maybe I'll push it out to 30, but I strive for the, I like them closer than further because of the size properties we hunt. You know, I try to limit any room for error. So I've also found a lot of times that the deer are at 30 yards, they're going to come to 20. So, you know, just be a little more patient and they usually come in. You know, there's probably only a handful of deer that I haven't shot because they didn't come into 20 when I could have shot them at 25 or 30, but I would say, you know, 20 and in for me is my average. And realistically my average is probably 10 to 12 yards.
Gotcha. All right. And then, so what is your arrow weigh? Would you say,
475 grains.
Okay. 475 grains. And what grain broadhead are you shooting?
I still stick with the 100 grain broadhead. You know, my arrow has a 50 grain insert outsert.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I got like 150 up front.
Okay. So, but the total arrow weight of 450.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I hear this, right? And I say, okay, your 20 yards are in most of the time on this shot. What is it safe to say that if you shoot a deer broadside double long with any broadhead on the market, it will kill that deer?
100%.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So obviously shot placement of what kills deer faster is probably shot, like what kills deer faster is probably shot placement, not necessarily expandable versus fixed blade. Fixed. Is that right? Or have you seen a noticeable difference between the double long broadside shots with a fixed blade versus mechanical?
I can't say I really seen a big difference. You know, it's the argument that everybody always has mechanical versus fixed blade, but if you have a broadside double lung deer and you put that arrow where it needs to go, that deer is going down. You know, it's just, I just always like to have the mechanicals because it's just larger cutting diameter and it allows me to feel more secure in case something does happen.
Right. Okay. All right. So now where a broadhead really shines is, like you mentioned, the marginal shots. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Where do you notice the difference on marginal shots? Are you like, I want you to break down for us marginal shot, maybe penetration, maybe energy loss with mechanicals. I mean, anything that you've noticed that will help us break down these broadheads.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, say you have an animal quartering away, you know, and you have your arrow enter more in that that liver area and, you know, come out one lung. You know, I think that's, you know, something that would be, you know, a marginal shot. And, you know, I've seen it happen. And I've had it happen. And I've also seen that deer go down. You know, I think a lot of it comes to anatomy as well. You know, if you, you know the hepatic system of, you know, in the liver and everything else and, you know, how the lungs work. But, you know, you got major things you can clip in there. But that's where I'm like, okay, a mechanical opening up wider gives me a better chance of maybe getting something that would be another artery or something that would be more devastating to that animal versus maybe a fixed blade. You know, and then as far as, you know, penetration, I mean, obviously my shots aren't really that far, but, you know, with my setup, I've definitely have killed, deer where I've hit them square in the shoulder. You know, and I've gotten pass throughs. So I did up my arrow weight, a couple years ago because I, you know, I did hit one deer in the shoulder and I was like, oh man, I'm like, that's not good. And, you know, I got, you know, not that great penetration, but that the arrow weight was super, super light. And this was before a lot of this, you know, I say years ago, this was a long time ago, but this was before a lot of this education was out where, you know, you can kind of find a good balance for whitetails. You know, I don't need to be, you know, one of those 600 grain guys. I'd like to float that 475, 500. And I've noticed with how I hunt, it's the most practical for me and shoulder blades are fine. And that hasn't bothered me with my setup. So,
gotcha.
I don't purposely aim for the shoulder, but you know, it happens, you know, I aim right at that crease. So if I'm, you know, an inch or two off, you know, it could make the difference of hitting a shoulder or not.
Right. When we're talking about marginal shots and penetration, you know, it's if you're inside and you're getting a pass through, it's hard because I've had deer at 20 yards and I've shot them with fixed blades and I've shot them with mechanicals and they go through the deer with my arrow weight because I shoot 32. You know, I'm a 30-inch draw weight. Mm-hmm. I shoot 70 pounds. My total arrow weight is between 500 and 550. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we have a, like, it doesn't matter at that distance because the arrow's going through anyway. Yep. Because of the total arrow weight. But have you noticed any performance, maybe either red flags or does one stand out in your experience, mechanical versus broadhead?
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Versus fixed, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, fixed. Well, it comes down to, I think, the tune of your bow, right? I mean, I think mechanicals are obviously going to be better off for your, you know, more flying like field points, per se. And, you know, sometimes you put a fixed blade on there and, you know, all of a sudden the, you know, the tune of your bow is showing and, you know, what's really happening with it. So, you know, I think in some situations where, you know, maybe that's happening, it's just easier to put a mechanical on because if that's going to be the difference of you hunting that day or not, then put a mechanical on and go hunt. You know, if you're a guy who is like me, I mean, I make sure, you know, I'm either bear shaft tuned or fixed blade tuned, but then I still end up putting a mechanical on and hunting just because I like my mechanicals. You know, I currently shoot pretty much anything out of the Wasp lineup of broadheads, and you know, they sent me that Sharpshooter 200 grain to do some product testing. And, you know, when I was shooting that at the range and everything, you know, that obviously really upped my arrow weight. So then I had to consider spine and everything else with that. But even then at 20 yards, I was able to get that thing to fly fly pretty good. You know, I noticed that I was like an inch low and an inch right. So I wasn't going to worry about that, you know, when taking a shot at a whitetail at 20 yards. But, you know, and that broadhead was fun to shoot. But, you know, that was something where it's like, yeah, you just got to go shoot it and make sure, you know, you're tuned for it. Versus mechanicals, I think you can get away with you know, a few things. I mean, you know, maybe you can, you know, run it through paper and then if you have to do a walk back tune. But, you know, if you really need to do a fine tune where you need a twist here or there on a yoke or, you know, shim a cam or whatever, you know, you're going to be chasing that for a little bit in the shop and you need to know, you have to have a guy who knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Okay. So have you ever had any issues or trouble tuning mechanical or fixed blade broadheads? And what I mean by this is two blade versus three blade versus four blade.
I haven't, you know, maybe I'm just lucky, you know, I know, you know, the one Bowtech, you know, I was using for years, George, I mean, I give him a lot of credit. You know, he works really close with me, knows I'm pretty meticulous about my setups and how I like things done. But I have not, you know, some of the other things, you know, I sometimes go down the rabbit hole on is, you know, aligning your fletches with the blades of your broadheads. But, you know, if that's, you know, if you're shooting a good tuned bow, that really shouldn't come into play either. But, I kind of probably go over the top when it comes to things like that, where I just want to make sure everything's like perfectly tuned and I get into the weeds with it. So, I have not seen a difference between, you know, like a single bevel two blade or, you know, a three blade or some of these four blades.
Yeah. Okay. And what's your max when you are tuning and practicing, what's your max range?
40.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you don't go back any further than 40.
No, because okay. I realistically where I hunt, I'll never have a shot further than that. And I know myself and I'm not going to take a shot further than that.
Okay.
Just from an ethics standpoint. And, but I want to know that shot could be there because, you know, that's probably about my max comfort if, yeah. You know, I'm on a field edge and, you know, and there's, you know, a larger body deer or whatever, you know, I want to know that my bow and myself can make that shot. Yeah. You know, I'll practice at further distances with, you know, my field points, but, you know, I make sure I'm good out to 40 with broadheads.
Okay. In those oh shit type of moments where maybe the deer turns or ducks or something happens and you do not hit any type of, let's say heart or lungs, what type of broadhead has seemed to perform the best for you?
You know, I would say the Wasp Jackhammer has done an incredible job. And the Wasp Jack Knife has done an incredible job. You know, just two nights ago, my one buddy, I was out and, you know, he's got, I call it the Death Trap tree stand. It's, you know, it's probably like 24 feet up. And, you know, he had a deer, you know, real close to him and, you know, he shot it and he pretty much came down through the back strap and got one lung on it. And he had the jackknife on. And, you know, that deer went 30 yards and fell over dead. So, you know, I don't know exactly everything and all he caught, but, you know, the one lung was intact, the heart was intact, and the other lung was hit. So, you know, you had a, you know, one lung hit and, you know, maybe, you know, that's something I feel like kind of speaks for the broadhead, you know, that wide cutting diameter. I'm just a firm believer that the larger you can cut, the more you're going to get.
Gotcha. As far as accuracy, Fred at Wasp.
Yeah.
That has always stuck with me. He goes, I don't care what another manufacturer says, but a mechanical broadhead is not a fixed blade or is not a field point.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you be very careful, when you hear a manufacturer say flies just like a field point, because it's not a field point and your arrows need to be tuned and your sights need to be adjusted for anything that you put on your bow, that's not a field point. Is yep. that does that seem accurate?
Well, I love Fred to death, but I've never, knock on wood, I should probably find some knock on real quick, but I've never had to touch my bow with a wasp jackhammer or wasp jackknife on my bow. That actually flies like a field point for me. So, and when I was on my way to ATA last year, I met these guys on the plane, and you know, we got to talking because they were going to ATA, and they asked me, they're like, well, what, you know, who, you know, what, you know, store do you own or what company? And, you know, I was like, no, I'm out with Wasp. And so we started asking me a question about the broadheads, and it's funny, cause I said, I'm like, they fly like a field point.
Yeah.
So, you know, the mechanicals, you know, they're, I love them. I like them.
Yeah. And so I, have you ever had a scenario where you hit like a, maybe a shoulder blade or a haunch, like a hand, like back in the butt cheek, the guts, and you've noticed a difference in penetration between a mechanical and a fixed blade?
So, I mean, I've hit shoulders with both mechanical and fixed blade, and I've had them both punch through. You know, as far as, you know, speed and everything, I can't tell that. You know, they've both punched through. You know, I know Wasp does a great job at, you know, it takes like nothing for that rubber band to come back. I forget the force or whatever, you know, Fred has all those numbers, but you know, that thing opens up with such ease, and you know, and it stays together, you know, when it's flying. But not that I've seen made a difference. You know, I have had a buddy who did hit a deer in the hind, and you know, he caught the femoral artery, and that thing bled out unbelievable. But you know, obviously that didn't pass through, but that was with a fixed blade.
Gotcha. Okay. So here's what I'm gathering, and maybe you have a different, I mean, being all things equal here, I'm supported by Wasp. I mm-hmm. have shot Wasp the most number of years. You're supported by Wasp. You know, they give you a discount on all the heads because you and your organization do population control, and it would be a shame for you guys to have to spend money of like buying retail price for broadheads. Okay. Take that out. Take that all that out of the equation, right? I've shot Wasp several years before I partnered with them. Take that out of the equation. 20 yards and in, fixed blade mechanical. There, if you get it in the lungs, they're gonna die.
Yep.
For the most, like, is that safe to say?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yep. And so on marginal shots at 20 yards and in. Do you think there is a performance difference between a fixed blade and mechanical at 20 yards and in?
A performance difference?
Other than cutting diameter. Obviously, a mechanical is going to have a bigger cutting diameter than a fixed blade.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to the tunability of your bow. You know, I've screwed on some fixed blades, and I'm like, oh, I need to go tune my bow. You know, versus with the mechanical, I screwed it on and I was perfect. So, yeah. You know, I don't think it's the broadhead. I think it's the bow at that point.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I mean, is there anything else to talk about for broadheads at this point for whitetail hunters in the eastern part of the United States? Like, because yeah, I've heard people talk about this energy loss thing. And I've witnessed it firsthand on major, like on big mature bucks that have more mass to their body. I've noticed that if on marginal shots, I'll just say it, like on marginal shots, I have had hard quartering toward shots, fixed blades work much better on marginal shots. Deeper penetration, go through more mass, more easy than a mechanical does. And I've noticed energy loss throughout the years on fixed blades past that 25-30 yard mark. Okay. Right. And so I'm trying to figure out if it's even, if all of my concern is valid, or am I just wasting my time thinking about this stuff?
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, I don't think you would necessarily be wasting time. I think you're just being a thoughtful, ethical hunter about things and yep. trying to figure out what is the best. Mm-hmm. It's hard to answer that. I mean, this is, you know, it's like the good old broadhead debate, you know, it's just like, you know, we can talk about it forever with that stuff. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that is interesting.
I'll say this, I will give a specific experience, and it was 2018 on to this date, my biggest buck. I was taking my rain jacket off and he shows up. So I had one arm in my rain jacket and over my shoulder, and he shows up, he walks through one shooting lane. I had to take it off, turn around. Luckily I had my bow right next to my arm. I set the rain jacket down on my tree stand seat, and I had a Wasp fixed blade on. I believe it was the Boss.
Uh-huh.
The Boss.
Head. Yep.
Yep, head. And I had it on a pretty heavy arrow at the time. I think it was one of my first years jumping up, so it was somewhere between somewhere around 450, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think, and that's so, about when all that craze came out with the heavier arrows.
Yep. And so I took a hard quartering shot, and it did not go well. I went through the ham. Okay, the arrow went through the ham into the guts, and it actually went the entire length of the body, and it came out one lunged him very, 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 very bottom, and it came out of hit into his front right armpit. Okay.
Yep.
So that's a lot of penetration.
Oh, it's a ton.
Yeah. And so I had a fixed blade on. I feel that I would not have recovered that deer if I had a mechanical broadhead on that. I feel like my gut tells me if I had a mechanical, and I'm not saying Wasp, I'm saying any mechanical.
Yep.
On that head, I would have had energy loss, and I don't think I would have recovered that deer because of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I would disagree with you on that. Does that mechanical get into that gut cavity and really open something up in
there?
Yeah,
damage it. Yep.
You know, and they start you know, dumping. But I would agree with you as far as the fixed blade with that, and to get that, you know, an exit.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable. I don't know if you would have gotten that exit with a mechanical on.
Yeah. But the argument then would be that I have more damage leading up to that then. You know what I mean? Like there's more cutting surface or a bigger wound channel, not all the way through. However, it's damaging enough in there to cause more hemorrhaging, more blood loss, more septic, you know, whatever the case is, into the guts and things like that. So I guess it's just an argument. And like, this could just be like, I can see one of those comments that we talked about, right? This is a stupid episode, right? Like, we don't solve any problems. It's not even really a good discussion. It's just something that I wanted to get a guy who shoots a lot of deer every single year. Let's do this. Let's ask this question. One holes versus two holes.
Two holes.
Right? Two holes, obviously. Right?
Yeah.
And so do you get more two hole entry exit with mechanicals or with fixed blades?
It's both for me. Okay. You know, it's the same. This isn't going to go anywhere either.
Cool.
Yeah, all right, you know? Well, have a good day.
But no, it's just like that's just the thing. But you know, I get a lot more blood out of a bigger, you know, two hole, and you know, and that's just kind of why I, you know, I found wasps more or less because of the volume, like you were saying, the volume of deer I shoot. So it's like they were in Cabela's, right? So I was, you know, looking at the broadheads and Cabela's, and I'm like, wow, this looks like something that's really good, and their price point is way better than anybody else on the shelf right here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my other friends, he shot them, and, you know, I called him. I'm like, hey, I'm like, are these good? He's like, yeah. He's like, I love them. He's like, I've been using them forever. Yeah. So I was like, okay. And, you know, picked them up, and then, you know, they made it affordable for me to buy at full retail. And do all this, you know, deer control. So, and then that's when, you know, I met Fred at a show and started talking to him, and, you know, kind of that's what started the journey. So, you know, it just was an affordability thing. And then for me, I'm always like bigger is better as far as a wound channel. So, you know, love two holes. I mean, there's times where it's quartering away and it's, you know, in the off shoulder or whatever. But you know, I've had that happen with the fixed blades too.
Yeah.
And then like, if, you know, if you throw these on a crossbow, I mean, that those things are going to go through anything, you know?
Yep.
So it's just like, you know, that's a whole nother debate.
Yeah.
So
is there a broadhead, you know, you haven't just shot wasp. Okay. You've landed on wasp. Now you have a relationship with the company that's mutually beneficial for you and them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but that's not to say you haven't shot other broadheads in the past.
No, I've shot, three other different companies broadheads.
Okay. Is there one of those companies that you have had a negative look at and you're just like, Jesus, man, these just do not compare to the rest of the broadheads on the market?
You know, there is, you know, with their mechanicals, you know, like I've had something where I've hit a shoulder and I was just like, ew, and you know, it breaks at the ferrule of the broadhead, you know, and I was just like, okay, well, that's not good. That doesn't seem ethical to me. You know, and that was a shot where I did not hit it in the lungs. You know, I did hit the shoulder, but I got no penetration. So I'm not faulting the company, but I was like, I want something I know is not going to break, that's strong and leaves me room for error.
Right. But here's the thing about that, right? You have shot other broadheads in the past on that same shot that have performed better than what that head did.
As far as the wasp ones?
No, I'm just saying you had a bad experience with this head. It went, it hit a shoulder, it broke, it did not penetrate. But other heads, I'm not just saying wasp, I'm saying other mechanicals that you've used, you shoot enough deer to where you have hit shoulders before and you have had performance out of those heads. Okay, so just tell me what that head was.
It was the Rage expandable. I don't know. So they have, excuse me for the background noise there for a second. They have the, I think it was whatever was before the hypodermic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really recall the name of it, but, you know, it just did not, perform to how I would like it to perform.
And there's a saying with Rage, okay? And this is something that I've learned in the past, and I'm not trying to hate or anything like that, but throughout the course of this particular podcast, I have heard more, I don't want to say negative, but I'm just going to say not good things happen with that type of broadhead than I have heard of any other broadhead on the market. Okay. And so I'm not here to talk trash on that, but just from a performance standpoint, like I look at something like that and I go, a head like Wasp, their ferrules, well, most of their heads are still made in the United States. right? With some kick-ass material and some well-designed ferrules and things like that. And then you start comparing, like, okay, with this broadhead versus this broadhead, based off my experience, which one would perform better, right? You're going to wish that you had a different head on that than the Wasp at that time. Or excuse me, than the Rage, right?
Oh, yeah. I was just like,
oof. Right? And so my gut tells me that you then said, well, I don't want to use this broadhead anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'm like, okay, not using that one. And, you know, a lot of guys will say, oh, you had one bad experience. You walked away from a great broadhead. But I knew what, at that point, you know, I was going to try something different and, you know, and I landed on Wasp because of the affordability, the structure, the durability. I have some jackhammers that I've already shot three deer with. I clean them up. I'm waiting to shoot the fourth deer with the same broadhead. I'll touch the tip up. I have a little sharpener for the blades. And, you know, I'm like, and that's crazy for a mechanical. I'm not saying go out there and do it, but I'm, you know, I do a lot of their product testing and I like to shoot a lot of their stuff to where I can, you know, find something to not work well. And it's almost impossible. And, you know, they've built a phenomenal product. And the other thing I really like about them is the way they, their mechanicals deploy. I mean, it's literally, you slip that rubber band up and, you know, it's perfect. I'm not a big fan of, you know, those like collars and messing with this, messing with that. Yeah. I just don't, you know, I need to be sure that I feel like everything's perfect. And, you know, if something happens, pulling something out of a quiver, I don't want to be fumbling with something, you know?
Yeah.
So
I've shot a broadhead in the past and I've talked with the owner about my one experience with this head. Okay. And I said, I don't think the head opened.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
I don't think it opened until, you know, and then when you pull it out, you don't even know if it opened, but it went through the rib, but the hole was only this big, as, you know, it was only like the size of a closed broadhead.
Yeah.
I didn't have a pass through on it. Maybe it was where it hit. Maybe it was circumstanced, but I never shot that head again because it didn't open the one time I wanted it to.
Yeah.
Right. I still found the deer, but it was not a pass through. It was a 20-yard shot. It was on a doe, and it just, I don't think it opened, but the guy told me it's impossible. It had to open based off of physics and stuff. I'm like, well, you can come. I should have taken more pictures.
Yeah.
Back then. But, man, I just, for any of my gear, really, you get one shot. And if it doesn't perform, I'm not going to use it again, man.
Yeah.
I'll never use it again.
Well, and some of the crazy things is, you know, you got guys spending thousands and thousands of dollars on their bows, you know, their clothing, their arrows, and then all of a sudden they're like, no, I'm going to screw on this cheap broadhead. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, like that's probably one of the most important things. That alone, you know, that's killing the deer.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's just crazy. You know, it's just, they've been good for me. I've had a great experience with them. I mean, it's just,
there's a couple other heads on the market that I would feel very comfortable using. You know, let's just say I took a step away from, hypothetically took a step away from Wasp or decided to put different heads. There's other heads out there that I would feel comfortable using, but there's also a handful of companies that I would refuse to use.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And I have, you know, I have some of my, you know, close friends that they, you know, they don't shoot Wasp. And, you know, I've seen their performance and stuff, and I know what those companies are, and I'm like, yeah, those companies are good too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the awesome thing about the archery industry is, you know, there's a lot out there, and you know, some good, some bad, but there's a lot of good out there.
Yeah. So the question is did we accomplish anything today in this conversation?
No. Nope.
I love it.
This conversation is like one of those Facebook posts. Which broadhead do you guys recommend? And then you open up the comments and it's like, no. So, you know, and it cracks me up because I'll post on some of those and I'm like, I'll just put wasp. Because yeah. I'm like, it don't matter. Nobody's going to go through this. It's just going to go into the good old debate, you know. Yep. But it's fun to talk about the shit you use, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's and to me with Wasp, it's the small family hometown kind of thing with me. And you know, the owners are great. Those guys treat you well. You know, it's more if you peel those onion, if you peel the layers back, you know, it's a mom and pop thing, you know. Yep. and they're great people and they make a phenomenal product. So
absolutely.
That's just why I'm using them. And you know, I love everything about it. So
there you go.
You know,
there you go.
There's plenty of great broadheads, but this is just what I chose and it works out well.
That's a fact, so. My friend. Well, I tell you what, this is a good place to end before we just keep going in circles.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
You know what I mean? So, Michael, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your experiences with us. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, man. You too. It's always a pleasure. Take care.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.